Hi, Patrick here. And today, a conversation with Gary Steingart. I don't know if you've read any of his three novels. The most recent is Super Sad True Love Story. I loved it. Since then, Steingart has written a memoir. It's just come out. It's called Little Failure. It starts with his childhood in the Soviet Union. The family moved to the U.S. when he was 7. He's 41 now. He recently came to the Big Show headquarters in Boston to talk about his immigrant story, a story he tells with the help of four languages. First, though, here's an excerpt from Little Failure. Young Gary, or Igor as he was known at the time, is still living in the Soviet Union in Leningrad, where his mother struggles to buy anything of quality at the food store.
To call a gastronom a supermarket would be to insult supermarkets everywhere. Rather, it is a uniquely pre-capitalist space in which ham at times appears and then very rapidly disappears. The ham is often not precisely ham, but the fat around the ham. My mother wages a weekly battle with the gastronom staff to make sure they cut her the rosy, edible part of our favorite snack. On one fateful occasion, right before we emigrate, my mother begins to shout at the woman, "Why are you giving me nothing but fat?" The year is 1978, when Soviet Jews are finally allowed to leave for Israel and, more happily, for the United States or Canada. My mother's enemy in the stained white smock appraises her nose and dark hair and shouts back, "When you move to Israel, they'll slice the ham for you without fat." "Yes," my mother answers, "in Israel I'll have the fatless ham, but all you will ever have here is the fat." One can comment on the unkosher absurdity of this conversation, but in truth, these are possibly the first brave and truthful words my mother had spoken in 30 years of careful Soviet life, the first time she had stood up for herself in front of the system, and the gastronom is the system at its most elemental. But I'm getting ahead of myself.
That's Gary Steingart reading from his memoir, Little Failure. And although Steingart writes in English, the words that come out of his mouth or onto the page, they're often laced with many other languages, predominantly Russian, his native tongue, and Yiddish. There's also a bit of Hebrew. Steingart's parents sent him to Hebrew school when they moved from the Soviet Union to New York. The reason for the move, or part of it, was anti-Semitism in the Soviet Union. It had picked up steam at the time of the Six-Day War in the Middle East, a war won decisively by Israel. Here's Steingart in conversation with the Big Show's Marco Werman on the connection between that and the expression grain Jews.
1967, the Six-Day War occasioned a huge burst of sort of anti-Semitism from the Soviet authorities, and a lot of Soviet Jews decided, many of whom were very well educated, decided, heck, we want to get out of here. But the Soviet Union wouldn't allow them to go. I mean, couldn't lose, a million mechanical engineers, which kept the country running. But in 1979, there was a horrible grain harvest, and Jimmy Carter and Leonid Brezhnev, the premier, reached a deal where grain, American grain, was exchanged for Soviet Jews, So I was worth maybe 300 loaves of bread and a croissant or something like that. And I don't know who got the better deal out of that one, but it happened.
So you get here with your family. Television played a big role in your formation, it seems. But it even started, back when you were in the Soviet Union with this little television set brand called Signal.
Yeah.
And you write that it caused, 80% of the house fires in Moscow at the time?
I'm not even sure that's hyperbole, but I think that set exploded quite a bit. It was a very explosive set. When we got to America, my parents didn't have a television in the house, which is why I stayed home reading Chekhov all day long. But my grandmother, who I visited every day after Hebrew school, did have a television set. It was a very old Zenith, which caught either sound or picture. So I would spend not both at the same time. That was too much for it to handle. So I'd spend half the day, writing down one episode of what I would see visually and then putting in the dialogue when it was rebroadcast again. I was so shocked by all of these shows. Gilligan's Island, I just couldn't understand why a country as rich and powerful as America with this powerful navy couldn't find the millionaire and his wife, who were clearly two very important citizens.
Yeah, you kind of have to suspend your disbelief with that one. What show or character from a show kind of influenced you in your life the most?
I was shocked by the $6 million man. My grandma was getting $50 worth of food stamps, and this guy was worth $6 million.
Yeah,
and I thought, this is somebody I really look up to.
I bet you learned a lot of English from television.
Yes, but I had an accent until I was about 14, and I think what happened was that at the dinner table, we spoke only in Russian, and that was a nice thing my parents did. And in some ways, I think retaining Russian helped me retain all these memories, which are entirely in Russian. So it was a very good thing for them to do for me as a novelist and as a memoirist now.
I mean, language does play a fairly big role in this book and in your life. You're often introducing Russian and Yiddish phrases throughout the book.
Yeah. there are such hilarious phrases in Yiddish. My mother would say, "Agurnisht, you're a nothing," you know. And then failurechka, another one of her, is little failure.
That's where the title comes from.
Yeah. But failurechka is a combination of English and Russian, because the root word here is failure, and chka just adds a diminutive to it, so it makes it little. But I love the way they play with language, even when it's a little bit hurtful.
And you were just talking about losing your accent. I'm always curious, did it kind of happen overnight? Did it take a while? I mean, I listen to people who I've known, and it's just like, when did that happen?
Yeah, it took a long time. A lot of practice in front of a mirror.
Really?
A lot of practice in front of a mirror. I couldn't get the word, for example. I mean, I focused on trouble words like attic, because we moved into a garden apartment with an attic, and I wanted to tell everyone about the attic. But unfortunately, I kept saying, yes, we have a new apartment with an addict. There's an addict living in our... No. But so I had to get rid of a bunch of, consonants to get English right, and that took a long time. And it's funny, because whenever I live in a foreign country, I spend some time in Italy, I'm really bad with vocabulary, but I can usually get the accent right because I've spent so much time practicing as a child.
When you get to the U.S., you're at this Jewish school, this Hebrew school, and suddenly you're feeling very Russian again. How did that happen?
Well, my parents, when they emigrated, they thought, send the kid to the Jewish school, he'll be surrounded by his fellow loving, happy Jews, one big Am Yisrael, the nation of Israel. But when we got there, it was 1980, all those evil empire speech, Ronald Reagan. There was nothing worse than being Russian. Those movies, Red Dawn, Red Gerbil, Red Hamster, what have you. And so the point where, even in Hebrew school, I would pretend to the kids that I was born in East Berlin, not in Leningrad. I was trying to convince Jewish kids that I was a German. it doesn't get any more ridiculous than that.
As an immigrant yourself, I mean, how do you see that immigrant experience, especially living in New York, where those experiences are so diverse?
Well, I mean, one thing I grew up with, there was a huge sense of rage, that why am I being treated? Here I am. I got circumcised at age 8 for you people. I'm going to this school. I'm trying desperately
to learn. When you say you people, you mean the Jews or the Russians?
The Jews.
Yeah.
I'm trying desperately to learn English and the Hebrew that I need for Hebrew school. I'm doing everything I can. I'm a young Republican. Hey, Ronald Reagan, look at me. I'm going to, when I'm 16, I'll be volunteering for George H.W. Bush's, election campaign against Michael Dukakis. I mean, how much more American do you want me to be? And it's still not working out.
Have you ever felt American? I mean, do you now?
Whatever that means. These days, we coastal immigrants, we're sort of on the inside looking out. We're well-credentialed and degreed and all this stuff. And it's people in the Rust Belt and it's people in the interior of this country who are really screwed, and they're on the outside looking in. So the roles have been very reversed. And certainly, and the other thing is, if you're middle class now and you come from Bombay or Shanghai or Dubai or whatever, you have your iPad and your iPhone and you know exactly what, the middle class lives this kind of global lifestyle. When we came from the Soviet Union, we were arriving from a different planet. There was nothing. All we had was one ABBA record, And we kept listening to the song Money, Money, Money as a kind of primer on capitalism, but that's all we had.
Have your parents read the memoir? Because, I mean, you don't let them off the hook here. I mean, you go into great detail on their intensity for you to succeed.
Yeah. No, I don't let anyone off the hook, hopefully including myself. I sent them a copy, and they haven't responded back. But also, their English isn't the best. So if there was a version in Russian, that would be very helpful. And the other books have been translated into Russian. So maybe when they get the Russian version, they'll be able to respond fully.
Will you translate this into Russian?
I won't. No. Yeah. Usually a publishing house in Russia would.
But there are plans to.
I don't know yet. I don't know. They're still selling the foreign rights. So,
you've just had a baby, I gather.
Mm.
Or rather, your partner's had the baby.
Yes, I was just...
You were instrumental in creating
it, I did suppose. Some stuff there. Yeah, I helped out.
So what does that feel like to have kind of this first generation kind of issue?
It's interesting. I mean, here he is. He's in Manhattan, he's... I want him to know his grandparents well, but in some ways, because grandparents always treat their grandchildren very differently than they treat their children, there is a feeling of he'll never know what I've known. And that's probably in some ways for the best. I mean, in terms of having a creative life, this you can't ask for better stuff than, all this. The Yiddish word is tourists, all the troubles that I went through, my parents went through, their grandparents, etc. Hitler, Stalin, everyone in between. And I don't know what the future is going to hold. I mean, pretty soon Manhattan might be underwater, So I hope this little kid learns how to swim real good. But there is a feeling, my God, he's growing up in relative wonderful circumstances.
Gary Steingart, his latest book, Little Failure, a memoir, is out this month. Gary, great to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And we have links to various Steingartenalia. Wow, that's a crazy sounding word. Those links are at pri.org/language. You can also get there via the World in Words Facebook page. And I'm on Twitter. My handle is Patricox, P-A-T-R-I-C-O-X. I'll leave the last word to Gary Steingart, another excerpt from his memoir. See you soon.
In my father's car on the way to the Solomon Schechter School of Queens, both of us mourning moody and unfriendly, even beneath the slurs and swipes of my classmates. The Russians are liars, the Russians are liars, the Russians are liars. The Soviet leadership are liars. That much I now understand. Lenin in Moscow Square was not always on the up and up. Fine. But am I a liar? No, I'm truthful most of the time. Except when one day, after one commie comment too many, I tell my fellow pupils that I wasn't born in Russia at all. Yeah, I just remembered it. It had all been a big misunderstanding. I was actually born in Berlin, right next to Flughafen Berlin-Schönefeld. Surely you've heard of it. So here I am, trying to convince Jewish kids in a Hebrew school that I'm actually a German. And can't these little bastards see that I love America more than anyone loves America? I'm a 10-year-old Republican. I believe that taxes should only be levied on the poor, and the rest of Americans should be left alone. But how do I bridge the gap between being a Russian and being loved? I start to write.